11 minutes after 8 o'clock, the president has filed a notice to oppose the Democratic Alliance's application to force him to fire Minister Batabile Dlamini. There was widespread speculation ahead of the cabinet reshuffle announcement that he would give the Minister of Women her marching orders, particularly because today was the deadline for him to decide on whether to oppose the DA's legal challenge against his decision to keep Dlamini in cabinet. However, this did, of course, not happen. The Democratic Alliance has initially applied their court action to have both Dlamini and Malusi Gigaba removed, as they were both found guilty of lying under oath. Gigaba resigned earlier this month. For confirmation of the president's decision on the matter, I'm now joined by the presidency spokesperson, Kusela Digo. Ms. Digo, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima. Good evening to your listeners, and thank you so much for inviting us onto the show.
Now, I'm sitting with the papers that you have filed and your notice to oppose, and when I look at the reasons for it, you speak about the fact that the presidency announced that President Ramaphosa has decided to oppose the DA's application to force him to fire Minister Batabile Dlamini as a matter of principle. So I would like to understand what the principle is that the presidency is talking about here.
Well, thanks again, Karima. Well, you are quite correct. Today, the presidency did file a notice to oppose the application brought by the DA. The answering affidavit, which is going to unpack the presidency's position, is only due within 15 days. So while we could, you know, speak to some of the merits of the issues that we're considering,
yes,
I do just want to say it's a bit premature, because that will be in our answering affidavit. Now, when we said it was a matter of principle, it's really on two grounds. Firstly, that the Constitution gives to the president sole prerogative for the appointment or the dismissal of ministers from the national executive. It is a right obligation that he exercises on his own, and therefore it is we feel that it is not the proper grounds that a court should be entering into. Now, we've also said that there are various avenues that the DA or any other aggrieved party could follow as it relates to the performance or the continued stay of ministers in cabinet, including, amongst others, putting in motions of no confidence in the cabinet. So our primary point that we're making is that this is not a matter for the courts to decide. The president has the sole prerogative for hiring and firing ministers in cabinet, and we would caution against a situation where the DA or any other party would then seek to co-govern with the president in the composition of the cabinet.
Now, of course, nobody can argue the fact that the cabinet serves at the prerogative and pleasure of the president, but the president is also not above the Constitution and, of course, the requirements that our decisions must be rational and must be lawful. The DA is seeking the order declaring the appointment of Dlamini unlawful, unconstitutional and invalid after the Constitutional Court found her reckless and negligent in a social grants debacle when she was Minister for Social Development. So this is a finding of the highest court in the land that has found that the minister has, of course, been reckless, and they are arguing that it is in fact unlawful and unconstitutional. So whilst one accepts that in the Constitution the president has the prerogative to appoint, how do you square these two requirements up, that even though the president has prerogative, he still has to be rational in exercising that prerogative?
We totally agree. We totally agree, Karina, and hence we are not arguing an issue of legality or rationality. I think it's the legal question in terms of what realm the court should be able to exercise its own powers. Now, the president has studied the Concord judgment as it relates to Minister Dlamini. He's applying his mind. And when I speak about these legal questions, it's also the issue of at which point did the DA decide that the president was supposed to have acted against Minister Dlamini. How do we know that perhaps he's not going to act against Minister Batlamini? You are preemptive in your approach. And it's that we would not want a decision to be taken by the court on this matter, because it then sets a precedent. It presupposes, for example, that the president will not act against Minister Batlamini. There's no finding against the president. There's no call on him to have acted by a particular date, in which case then you could say his action or inaction has been in violation of one or other constitutional imperative. The president, Karina, does not take this matter lightly. It's a matter that he is fully applying his mind to. You know that he's on record having said that one of the primary responsibilities of any public representative is to uphold and maintain the constitution. I mean, that is the oath of office that they take.
Absolutely. I get what you're saying, Kusela, but there are some contradictions. For example, the latest judgment against Ms. Dlamini stemmed from the matter brought by two civil rights groups, the Black Sash and Freedom Under Law, which wanted to protect the social grant system when the contract between the South African Social Security Agency, SASSA, and a cash paymaster systems expired in March 2017. Now, the views of the Black Sash was in fact shared by a Section 38 inquiry mandated by the court and chaired by retired Judge Bernard Nwepe into Dlamini's role in the 2017 social grant crisis. So what you have here is that in the report which Judge Nwepe presented, he found that Dlamini misled the inquiry about appointing the work streams, which was essentially a parallel function within SASSA established in July 2016 that comprised advisors handpicked by Ms. Dlamini to investigate SASSA's capacity to take over social grant payments from CPS. And that, of course, is in direct violation of her authority. As the executive, she didn't have the authority to, in fact, get involved in the administration of how grants need to happen. And that relates also, of course, to the issue of the separation of powers. Now, unfortunately, we don't have your affidavit because you haven't filed it. So I can't understand the legal premise of what you are saying. And so I'm going to come back to the question of the principle that you are talking about. The principle is accepted, but the principle isn't without limits. The principle is guided by rationality, by court decisions. As I said, a retired judge supported what two groups said, both the Black Sash and Freedom Under Law. What is the legal basis for the president saying that the DA wants to usurp his constitutionally given powers?
Okay. I think speaking directly to what you're saying, Karima, let's seek to separate the merits of the issues that have been raised against Minister Dlamini vis-a-vis the application that has been brought by the DA. The DA has brought an application that says that it wants the court to declare that President Ramaphosa failed to comply. Okay, they want his decision not to dismiss Minister Dlamini to be declared unconstitutional, invalid, and illegal. Now, that is what we are dealing with. It is not about protecting or defending Minister Dlamini. I think that the court judgments are there. Those are not being questioned in any way. So that is a separate issue. But when it comes to the declaration that the Democratic Alliance once made against the president, this is where then we begin asking the legal questions that I'm talking about. Firstly, to say, how does the DA come to a determination that the president is not going to act against Minister Dlamini, and for you to preemptively go to court to seek an order that wants his declaration of non-action, really, at this point in time, to be declared unconstitutional, invalid, is wrong. That's the first point. Then secondly, if we're saying that this is not an area for the courts to adjudicate on, because there are other avenues that are open within our law, keeping in mind the separation of powers and ensuring that the courts do not now enter the arena of executive decisions, because the appointment of cabinet is an executive decision. And we are going to explain in our affidavit, amongst other issues, that there are avenues that the DA can follow without resorting to the courts, which space has been created for in our jurisprudence, where in instances they are unhappy with members of cabinet and they would want action to be taken against them in one way or the other, which includes a motion of no confidence, like I have said. So the basis of then our of our opposition on this is going to be drawn largely from the issue of separation of powers, and it within that application, because it wants to make the point that the president's decision is not rational. You remember that for any executive decision to stand, it has to meet the principle of legality and rationality.
Yes.
And the president is well within his rights to unpack what his view is at this particular point in time as it relates to Minister Dlamini, and whether indeed or not he will act against her. But it cannot be as a result of compulsion by an opposition party that then goes to court.
Now, when you say that the president, the DA can't presuppose that the president won't act against Batabile Dlamini and that he won't apply his mind, given what the highest court in the land has said, what retired Judge Bernard Nwepe has said, and of course the findings that are there, does that mean, Ms. Diko, that Ms. Dlamini could well still be fired from the cabinet?
Well, Karima, I would not want to speak with certainty on that matter because, I mean, as you know, the president exercises his prerogative to make changes to the national executive at any point in time when he decides. But in the last conversation that we would have had with the president on the matter, he put it very clearly that he takes the court decisions very seriously. Mm-hmm. He's considering his options as it relates to that matter. However, on a matter of principle, he does not believe that it is an area that the court must adjudicate on, and hence then the notice to oppose has been filed.
Mm-hmm. What I wanted to ask, Ms. No, of course. What I want to ask, Ms. Diko, is the DA brought the application against two ministers, right? The one minister fell on his sword and he resigned, and that was after he publicly said that he won't resign. And then, of course, a week later, we found that he had in fact resigned, saying that it's in the interest of the African National Congress and the country that he vacates his post. Why didn't the president bring the application to oppose on the basis of which you argue this principle that it's not for a political party to go to court to make that decision and interfere with the prerogative of the president? Why didn't you bring that application before? Because when we spoke the last time and when I did some research on the story, you were ambiguous about this. You said that you are not going to oppose the applications. That was the first thing. And that you are keeping your options open and you are going to consider the matter. So why, for example, didn't you file this notice to oppose before Minister Gigaba, for example, resigned?
Well, Karima, I think it's a demonstration of the considered thoughts that the president has put into this matter. You will remember that the deadline, actually, for the notice to oppose, I think, was last week, not even today. And the president did ask legal counsel to put in a request to the DA's lawyers for an extension, because he was giving thoroughgoing thought to the issues that are before him. He has now come out to say that he believes that this would be a precedent-setting judgment, and he thinks that it is necessary that it is opposed on the grounds that we have laid out. So it hasn't been taken lightly, and I want to stress that it's not about the defense of Minister Dlamini or
No, I understand that. You've made that point. Yes. I understand what you're saying. It still doesn't argue concisely for me how the president passes the rationality test, given that the apex court has found that Ms. Dlamini was unlawfully and unconstitutionally and invalidly appointing these work streams, at Judge Nwepe also found the same. In fact, there was a cost order against Ms. Dlamini. The courts weren't mincing their words in terms of the malfeasance that they ascribe to Minister Dlamini's actions. So I want to understand what is weighing more heavily for the president, because I can understand the president wanting to protect his rights to hire and fire. That is his prerogative. But as you admitted, and as we know, it has to stand the test of rationality. And of course, the law is also based on precedent. We have precedent here where other courts have actually said that this person, in fact, behaved in a way that at the very least brought her ministry into disrepute. What is the legal principle that trumps all that for the presidency?
You know, the problem with our discussion, Karima, is that you want us to argue our case without us even having prepared the papers, you know? What we will do within the answering affidavit is that we will then speak to those legal principles. I think what I was trying to do now at a high level is to indicate to you the fundamental legal question that we have a problem with, which is around interference in executive decisions.
Okay.
And again, this issue that we must not presuppose that there shall not be action in whatever needs to be done. But I think the answering affidavit, which comes in 15 days, will be able to speak to a lot of the issues that will take in. The president is still going to fully consult with legal counsel. And then on the basis of that, I think we can have a more in-depth discussion around it.
Kusela Diko, thank you very much for making the time. We really appreciate it. That's the spokesperson in the presidency, Kusela Diko, explaining the president's decision to oppose. As I said, I have a copy of the notice that they are opposing. What we don't have, of course, is the affidavit, which sets out the legal case that the presidency is making. And as you could hear from our conversation, we were going around in circles because Ms. Diko was saying that until we see the affidavit, it's premature to, in fact, go into the legal prescript. But there are, of course, universal issues that are at stake here, which is laws of rationality. And, of course, even the president, whilst he has prerogative, cannot act outside of the Constitution and cannot act unlawfully. So this is a story that we will, of course, watch very, very closely. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be looking at the drivers of some of the changes that President Cyril Ramaphosa announced today.